Grace be yours, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon this morning is based on Psalm 8. This is also from the ESV translation. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Set this glory of yours above the heavens. From the lips of little children and nursing babies, you have established strength because of your foes, to put a stop to the enemy and the avenger. Whenever I look up at your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you remember him? The son of man that you pay attention to him? Nevertheless, you make him suffer need apart from God for a while, but you crown him with glory and honor. You make him the ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and cattle, and even the wild animals, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea, which pass through the currents of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of our God. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, what's in a name? In the name of our God, it is his essence. God has revealed his essence to us. From catechism, you'll recall that he does so in a couple of ways. God reveals his essence, his glory as God, in the works of creation. He also reveals his glory in the cross of his eternal Son, Jesus Christ, where Jesus offered himself as the full payment for the sins of the entire world. With the former, we think of the revelation of God's glory in connection with his power. In the latter, we associate God's essence and his glory in the works of our redemption, in our salvation by Christ Jesus. King David wrote Psalm 8. He wrote it to be presented to the director of the choir for singing and worship. It was to be accompanied by a musical instrument called a gittith, of which we really don't know anything today, just exactly what kind of an instrument that was. We're pretty familiar with Psalm 8, as it is one of the psalms in the front of Christian worship we use as part of our regular divine services on Sunday morning. We sang it today because it is the psalm that is appointed for the Sunday after Ascension. Last Thursday was Ascension Day, in which Christians remembered and recognized that Jesus, now in his exalted body and all of his glory as the world's Savior, returned to his throne in heaven, not only as the Son of God, but also as a true human being, the Son of Man. Look with me then this morning to Psalm 8 as it guides us in our reflection on this truth that God makes himself known and reveals his glory. He does it first of all in his creation and secondly in the works of our salvation. If you look at the text of the psalm, you'll notice that Lord is not the tetragrammaton. It's not all capital letters. David was not here referring to the Son of God or God as the God of free and endless grace. But this is the word in Hebrew that means the same thing as ruler or master or king. Here, David, a king himself, was referring to that office of the coming Savior and of God, the triune God, as our Lord, as the one who rules, who is majestic in his rule over all things. And David immediately begins with the plural pronoun, O Lord, our Lord. David, when he wrote this psalm, immediately puts it into the mouth of every believer. When those believers in Israel sang this psalm, they were acknowledging their unity under that kingship and lordship of God, particularly the Son of God. When you and I sing Psalm 8, as we just did, and we say, the Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name, we are joining those believers across centuries in the past, and for however many centuries God may give the world in the future, acknowledging that we and all the world live under the rule of God, under the majestic majesty of God. God rules our hearts also as the King of our hearts, as our Savior, but he also rules all people as the God who created the heavens and the earth. God makes known himself and reveals his glory, first of all, in the works of creation. God's glory in his creation is his wisdom. It's his power. It's his love. It's his knowledge. It's everything about him that we see in the works that he has created. Paul's words to the Romans in chapter 1 come to mind, that God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world. So the invisible qualities of God are seen in the universe that he has created. Think of looking at a beautiful mansion. And that mansion tells you a lot of things about the builder. It tells you, doesn't it, about his wisdom, his skill, his knowledge, all of those things. And so you see that, you see those things in what he has made, even though you don't see the builder himself. This is the time of the year when the earth comes alive again. And maybe some of us are thinking, finally. But things are getting green. The trees are budding. The hummingbirds have come back from wherever they wisely are sent by God to spend the winter, so they're not harmed. The sun and the moon and the stars are in different places in the sky. And the days are getting longer. And the nights are getting shorter. All of those things reveal the glory and the wisdom, the majesty of our God. It's good to pause, isn't it? And to reflect and to simply take some time this morning to sing those words of praise. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. David goes on to point out that it's not just we adults who sing that praise to God in his majesty, but it's also true of little children and babies. God creates babies. He creates little children as evidence of himself and of his glory. How blessed we are as a congregation to have many loud talking children, many crying babies, to have a noisy sanctuary, because our children are the future of our church. How wonderful that those babies are here with their moms, with their dads, from beginning of their birth to be in the house of the God who made them. The God who created them and formed them in their mother's wombs. Those babies, when they're baptized, David says, also then in their cries and in the noises they make that come now from a believing heart, as baptism created faith in their heart and brought them into the kingdom of God, that those babies, even though with their intellect, even though with their reason, they can't verbalize or express their praise of God, that when they make their noises, that when they speak their words, that they too are glorifying and praising their God. He says, in fact, from the lips of little children and nursing babies, you have established strength because of your foes, to put a stop to the enemy and the avenger. It is to the glory of God that our babies, having been baptized, have that strength of Christ to defeat their enemy, Satan. That they have that strength of their faith and in their hearts to sing about the majesty of God who created them, who has given them that extra special blessing of faith. A faith that can overcome, that will give them strength against their foes, and will be able to put a stop to their enemies. We bring babies and young people to faith in Christ through baptism and through the Word. They now belong to the pious and devout people of God. They too are now subject to the majestic King. They sing God's praise in the face of their enemies as God gives them power and strength. This verse in Psalm 8 is strong testimony to the power of holy baptism and to the blessing and gift of holy baptism for our babies. How empty and sad are the lives of those people who deny creation? People say, well, what difference does it make if you don't believe in creation, if you believe in evolution? Well, what's sad is you miss the whole point. The glory of God is still there. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. It's a clear testimony to who He is and what He has done for all mankind. But how sad that people who deny creation miss all that. They don't get it. They don't want to see it or believe that these things are done by the hand of God. How sad also are those, even among Christians, who deny the power of holy baptism, who say that baptism is not a means of grace, that it doesn't create faith or strength in the hearts of little babies. Holy baptism is the special gift that God has given to little babies, so that with their cries and with their noises, even though they don't understand, even though we don't understand, that they are saying from a heart of faith, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, because you created me, you made me. I'm not something that just happened by some human interaction, and therefore people are free to throw me away or keep me, depending on their whim or their will. But you have made me and created me to your glory. You formed me so that I could be born and then brought into your kingdom through holy baptism. How empty and sad are the lives of those who do not believe that the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of His hands. In the second part of Psalm 8, King David switches gears a little bit. In fact, in thinking about it, it brought a question to his mind that he writes down. He said, you know, as I'm considering the works of your hands, O Lord, I'm considering the skies and the heavens and all the majestic, glorious things that you have made. What is man that you are mindful of him? What is lost humanity that you even care about them? Because compared to the glories of the things that you made, still glorious, though fallen, why would you even still now consider these sinners who have inherited sin and death from their parents and who will pass it along to their children? And then he gives the answer. The answer is that God makes himself known and reveals his glory in the works of salvation. This glory might seem a little bit less than the glories of creation, but it isn't. It's as great or greater, because it is the glory of the cross. It is the glory of the Son of God coming into the world and humbling himself and becoming a human being, not stopping being God, but to set aside the full use and regular use of his majesty as God. And I really like the EHV translation here, or in Philippians chapter 2, that speaks of this also. Speaking of Jesus, Paul wrote, "He did not consider equality with God as a prize to be displayed, but emptied himself by taking the nature of a servant." So Jesus, as true man, did not consider showing himself to be God as a prize that he desired, or the Son of God to display that all the time, but to humble himself, not by becoming a man, but as a man not using his majesty and glory and power, hiding it, not using it for a time. And even later, himself being forsaken by his Father on the cross. The glory by which God reveals himself is his Son becoming a human being, suffering under temptation, suffering and dying on the cross to pay for the sins, not of just some, but of the entire world, to redeem every sinner, every human being. What is man that you are mindful of him? He is the lost mankind that God wanted to redeem and did redeem to his glory. It is to God's glory that he has saved you and me from hell. It is his glory that accepted Jesus' perfect obedience on the cross for our sins. When David asks the question, what is man that you remember him? The Son of Man that you pay attention to him. And I believe and accept the interpretation here that the Son of Man there is Christ. That David is talking about Jesus. The Son of Man, the Father did pay attention to him, because he saved us, because he humbled himself and he died on the cross and was buried. The Father did something else then. He raised his Son from the dead, exalted him, returned him to all of his glory and his majesty, not only as the Son of God, but also as the Son of Man. And this is where the psalm fits in with ascension. Ascension is the third great festival of the church year. It's no less important than Christmas and Easter, because it is a declaration of the exaltation of Christ as the Savior of the world. It is his return to heaven to rule over all things for the sake of the church. It is to put again to full and constant use all of his glory and all of his majesty, not only as God, but also as a human being. And David writes about that. You crown him with glory and honor. You make him the ruler over the work of your hands. You put everything under his feet. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the glory of God and the works of our salvation, is the one who today from heaven rules over all things and rules over the hearts of believers. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. And so to close the psalm, David repeats our adoration of our ascended Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In this psalm, King David shows us Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is the Son of Man who through his humiliation and exaltation in the works of our salvation has raised up us, his fallen creatures, and has restored us in Christ to all glory and honor and dominion. Amen.